hello, hello, and welcome to another edition here at Get in Position to Win today with your host, Richard, the Financial Advocate Medley. And I want to thank you for your time and your energy joining this podcast, because I know you could have been doing anything you wanted to, but you decided to join this podcast, and I appreciate that. So hey, let's just jump right into the subject. In today's subject, I will be asking or sharing the 20 laws of money for wealth accumulation. People who become successful and wealthy in life have learned how to use money to their advantage. They do this by following certain laws that have been passed down throughout the ages. As a result, they are able to accumulate wealth and enjoy the financial freedom that those reserves provide them with. Unsuccessful people, however, or those who tend to remain poor despite having many opportunities to change their life, do not follow the same laws that wealthy people do. In fact, the majority of cases, the exact opposite laws are followed, producing the exact opposite results that rich people experience. So, instead of building wealth, such individuals tend to increase their wealth and become slaves to debts that they can never afford to repay. What this all means is that when it comes to money, you really have only two options. Either you follow the right laws and make money, or you follow the wrong laws and lose money. There is no middle ground. This podcast, we are going to be looking at the 20 laws of money as proposed by Brian Tracy. So let's get started with the first law, the law of cause and effect. See, the law of cause and effect states that everything happens for a reason, because there is cause for every effect. This is an extremely simple principle to understand, as it states that rich people are rich because they do things which make them rich, and poor people are poor because they do things which make them poor. For example, a rich person may focus their efforts on accumulating assets such as precious metals like gold and silver, which increase in value over time, while poor people focus their efforts on accumulating liabilities such as expensive electronic goods or flashy cars that decrease in value over time. This is the law of cause and effect. For everything that you do, there is either a positive or negative outcome, which comes as a direct result of the actions that you take. Cause and effect in your life. The law of cause and effect not only applies to your personal finances, but also to every other aspect of your life. How successful you are, for example, largely depends on the actions that you have taken in the past. If you spend the majority of your time trying to become better at what you do, then the law of cause and effect dictates that your skills or your knowledge will improve in proportion to the amount of hours that you have invested into bettering yourself. If, however, You spend the majority of your time watching TV and playing computer games, then the law of cause and effects dictates that the amount of failure you experience will be proportional to the amount of time that you spend having fun rather than working hard on things of long-term significance. Once you start looking at things through the eyes of cause and effect, you will find that you start to see things a lot more clearly, as your vision will no longer be clouded by delusions of chance, good luck, or bad luck. As a result, you will realize that you are and were, and that you are due to your actions in the past, and that where you will be in the future will be determined by the actions you take today. You have to understand, financial success is simply an effect that comes as a result of taking certain actions. To become wealthy, you must therefore learn to identify the actions that will bring more money into your life, and then keep on repeating those actions until you achieve a level of wealth that satisfies you. The law of expectations is strongly influenced by the previous law, the law of belief, because it states that whatever you expect to happen in your life eventually becomes your own self-fulfilling prophecy. This means that you are always acting as your own fortune teller by the way that you think and talk about how things are going to turn out. See, when you expect good things to happen to you, good things usually do happen. When you expect bad things to happen to you, bad things typically happen. When it comes to money, wealthy people expect to live lives of financial abundance and have their net worth increase year after year, where most people who are not wealthy expect to struggle for their money and just earn enough to get by, paycheck to paycheck. The beauty about this law is that your expectations are largely under your control. This means that you can decide whether you expect to be poor or whether you expect to be prosperous. What can you imagine? Your expectations about money are determined and limited by your imagination. Some people have a very vivid imagination and can clearly envision their future life. Whether that be earning a six-figure salary or simply amassing material wealth, they can picture what they want and are willing to work towards its achievement because one day they expect to get it. Unsuccessful people, however, generally have a very limited imagination, which causes them to focus their attention on the present moment and the satisfaction of their immediate needs. And as a result, their financial expectations also become limited, which ultimately becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that they live by. If you want to bring financial abundance into your life, you therefore need to think big and expect the best, because what you expect to happen will largely determine the type of things you try to achieve. We must understand the expectations you have determined. What you think will happen to you in your life, which then determines the aims and objectives that you work to achieve. The higher your expectations are, the greater a level of wealth that you are likely to pursue. But having high expectations is not enough, as those who only dream of riches without being willing to work hard will remain just that, dreamers. The fourth law, one of my favorites, the law of attraction. The law of attraction states that you attract into your life the people, circumstances, and events that are aligned with your dominant thoughts. In other words, the law of attraction states that the life you are living today is a reflection of the thoughts that you have had in the past. Therefore, according to this law, if you are able to change your thoughts, you will be able to change your life. Out of all the 20 laws of money, the law of attraction is perhaps the most famous and well-known due to the movie The Secret. Attraction in action. There is no doubt that the law of attraction is an important factor in determining whether you have a lot of money sitting in your bank account or whether you become penniless instead. Whether this is due to some mystical force or due to change in your thought patterns and the resulting actions you take doesn't really matter. The results are still the same. If you think rich, then chances are that one day you will become rich because you will start to attract the things into your life that will help you to make money rather than lose it. This attraction could come in the form of information, such as thorough reading of books on money, or it might come in the form of assistance, such as by meeting people who can help you achieve your long-term financial goals and plans. Through the thoughts that you have and the resulting actions that you take, the law of attraction will eventually bring you and into your life whatever it is that you are most focused on. However, you think poor, you will invariably become poor because chances are that you will be attracting it into your life, the things that are going to take money away from you. This may come in the form of being careless with your money or wasting it, accumulating credit card debt, or taking out high interest loans to purchase liabilities that quickly become worthless. As long as you focus on being broke, then ultimately this is what you will attract into your life. We have to overstand. Use the law of attraction to attract more money into your life by focusing your attention on things that bring you closer towards the achievement of your financial goals. This doesn't mean that you should ignore the bad things that happen to you, but rather your dominant thoughts should be on what you want to happen and not on what you don't. Let's go into the law of correspondence. The law of correspondence states that your outer world is a reflection of your inner world and corresponds with your dominant thoughts. This law explains most of the reason why people become successful or unsuccessful, are happy or unhappy, or are wealthy or poor. poor. Their outer world reflects their most dominant inner thoughts. Ultimately, what this means when it comes to your financial situation is that nothing will change for you on the outside until it first changes for you on the inside, inside your mind. The same applies to any other area of your life. If you want to improve the results you are getting in the outside world, you first need to change the thoughts that you have in your internal world. See, this is your financial mental equivalent. A world on the outside that is a reflection of the person's internal world is called a mental equivalent. This simply means that their external world is equivalent to their internal world. Everyone should therefore aim to create a mental equivalent inside their mind of the things that they would like to experience in the outside world. Because unless you create it in your mind first, it cannot be created outside of it. This is done by exposing yourself to sources of information that will help you to achieve your financial goals, and avoiding negative sources of information that fill you with doom, gloom, and self-doubt. The law of correspondence can also be used as a useful aid to help you better understand other people. For example, if someone is heavily in debt, then this is likely to indicate that they are not very good at managing their money. And so, they are probably not very good at managing other areas of their life, such as their health or their career. As you move along on your journey towards financial independence, it is worth keeping the law of correspondence in mind, as it will allow you to identify those individuals who may be able to help you achieve your financial goals and those who could make it more difficult for you to do so. We have to understand wealth creation begins in your mind, and the results are reflected in the reality that you see and experience. So be careful of the things that you expose yourself to, as they will all influence your internal mental environment. Some for the better, and some for the worse. Let's jump into the law of abundance. The law of abundance states that we live in an abundant universe in which there is plenty of money available for anyone who wants it. That is, of course, providing you are willing to do what it takes to earn that money. In today's digital age, the law of abundance has become more relevant than ever, as now most of the money in the world exists only in the digital realm as numbers on a computer screen. A good example of an excellent understanding of the law of abundance can be found with banking institutions. When banks first started hundreds of years ago, they provided people with a safe place to keep their gold coins or gold bars in exchange for a fee. A person would go to a bank, give that bank their gold or valuables, and in return receive a paper receipt. If they ever wanted to collect their gold, they would give the bank their receipt and receive their gold. But the banks soon realized that only a few people would come to collect their gold at any one time. This meant that the rest of the gold they were looking after was sitting there doing nothing. So, the banks decided to use the gold that they were looking after to make themselves more money by investing it in other things or loaning it out to people of interest. As long as all the bank's customers didn't come to the bank at once, the bank would always have enough gold to give back to its customers, should they ask for it. Today, we call this fractional reserve banking. And in the digital age, it is easier to do than ever before. Banks can now lend out virtually unlimited amounts of money because, unlike physical gold, money that exists on a computer screen is limitless. As a result, lending institutions are able to make tremendous amounts of money as easily as they can lend out money to borrowers, which they do not really have and that don't really exist. Well, we have to understand, since we entered the digital age, there has been an endless supply of money being pumped around the world each and every day. Money is not a scarce resource. What is scarce is having the correct knowledge and skills needed to acquire large sums of money. Therefore, the more you are able to develop your human capital, the more money you are likely to receive in return for your efforts. The law of exchange. The law of exchange states that money is a medium through which people exchange their labor in the production of goods and services for goods and services of others. In other words, this law states that people receive an income for doing or producing something that other people value and are willing to pay for. Therefore, the higher the value of the service or product that you provide, the more money that you will receive in exchange for it. Before there was money, before money was invented, people used to barter. This involved exchanging goods or services for other goods or services. For example, if you came to my house to fix my leaking roof, then in exchange, I would provide you with wood for your fireplace. This is called barter, and it's what people used to do before there was money. As societies grew larger, however, it became far more convenient for goods and services to be exchanged into a medium like coins. Coins could be accumulated and stored, and then later exchanged for the goods and services that you require. Today, we do exactly the same thing, only instead of using just coins, we now also use paper money and digital money in the form of credit cards or debit cards. We work for a set amount of time and receive a set amount of money in return. We then use the money that we have earned to buy goods or services from other people who are also exchanging their goods or services into medium, which they would then use to buy goods and services from others. In economics, the flow of goods and services in an economy is referred to as real flows and is said to exist in a circular flow because the income of one individual equates to an expense of another. Value is proportional to reward. Let me explain. The law of exchange dictates that the amount of money you receive for a product or service depends on how valuable it is. The more something is needed, the fewer people who have it, and the more important it is, the higher its value will be, and the more money you will get for it. This is the basic principle behind the law of supply and demand. Value is largely determined by what someone is willing to pay for something, and can therefore vary depending on that person's feelings, attitude, and opinions of what you have to offer. For some people, they may consider your product or service to be extremely valuable, and so will be willing to pay a lot for it, while others may consider it no value, and so will pay you very little or nothing at all. But generally speaking, there are three factors which determine the value in the real world. The type of work you do, how well you do it, and the difficulty in finding what you do elsewhere. If you undergo formal education to train yourself in a highly specialized field, for example, you are likely to receive a high wage for it because not many other people can do what you do. If, on the other hand, you work in a low-skill profession in which anyone can do what you do, then you are likely to receive a lower wage because competition from other workers drives down the value of your particular skill. We must overstand. In order to make more money, you must increase the value of what you do. This may mean increasing your knowledge, skills, or changing your job. Whatever you can do to add more value to others, and I'm going to repeat that, whatever you can do to add more value to others will increase the amount of money that you are able to earn in exchange for your time. The highest paid people in society continually improve what they do so they can earn more money by offering products and services of increasingly greater value. Let's go on into the law of capital. The law of capital states that your most valuable asset in terms of cash flow is your physical and mental capital, your earning ability. If you are able to apply your earning ability to the production of valuable goods and services, you will have enough money to do all the things you want in life. The amount of money you earn today is therefore a direct measure of the extent to which you have developed your earning ability. The higher your earning ability is, the more money you are likely to be making. See, time is your most precious resource. How much time you put into something largely determines your earning ability. If you have poor time management skills, for example, and so end up wasting your time on unproductive tasks, your time won't be worth very much at all. So at the end of the day, your time is really all that you have to sell. And this is why you should make the most of it by avoiding squandering it on things that add no long-term value to your life. Importantly, Value and time are closely interrelated. As in generally, it can be stated that as time increases, so does value. Wine and cheese are both good examples of this principle. As the value of these two commodities increases with age, although it should be noted that in some cases, such as the delivery of goods, less time can equal higher value. Ask Mr. Amazon about that. If you want to make money and become wealthy, you must therefore be prepared to spend however long it takes to create something of high enough value that people want to buy. You can, of course, spend less time by creating things of lower value, but it should be remembered that as value decreases, so does consumer demand and the price that you are able to charge for your good or service. See, time and money can be spent or invested. Once time or money have been spent, they are gone forever and you cannot get them back. You can, however, invest your time or money so that you receive more time or more money later on. If time or money is invested in learning new skills or knowledge, for example, you will increase your personal value, which will then increase your future earning ability and your cash flow. This is why you should always invest a portion of your income each month into personal development so that you can work on becoming better at the things which are most important to you. We must understand, one of your major purposes in life should be to increase your earning potential to receive the most amount of money possible in exchange for your time. An effective way to do this is to identify the highest values, uses of your time, and then focus more of your time on doing those things. The more personal value that you are able to create for yourself, the greater the value of the goods or services that you produce will be, and the greater the monetary value that you will receive in return. Law number 9, the law of conservation. The law of conservation states that it's not how much money you make which determines your financial future, but rather how much of your money you are able to keep. Let me rephrase that this way. Wealth is determined by how much of your money you are able to keep, not by how much you are able to make. See, there are many people, for example, who make a lot of money over the course of their working life, but because they do not manage their money well and spend it needlessly, they retire broke and poor. On the other hand, there are people who do not make much money, but because they use their money wisely and save it, they are able to retire extremely wealthy and spend the rest of their days in comfort. So if you want to achieve financial success in life, your aim must be to save more money than you spend, as otherwise you will never be able to accumulate and grow wealth. The difference between the rich and the poor. Financially successful people are experts at cutting costs and saving their money for the future. When they do spend money, they do so predominantly on assets those are things that increase in value over time, rather than or own liabilities, which are things that decrease in value over time. This ensures that should the economy take a turn for the worse, or they are made redundant and lose their job or business, they will always have something to fall back on. Funds which are set aside specifically for this purpose is known as an emergency fund, and usually entails saving at least 6 months' salary to provide enough money to continue your current standard of living while you look for employment. People who are not financially successful tend to do the exact opposite to those who are rich. They are experts at spending their money, ensuring that they have nothing left for the future. They live for today with little or no regard for their long-term financial future. When the economy turns bad or they lose their job, they find that they have nothing to fall back on except charity handouts or on the streets. So what we must understand is that wealth building occurs by accumulating as many assets as you can and reducing the number of financial obligations or liabilities that you have, such as taxes. See, anyone can become wealthy, even those on a low salary, providing that they are able to save more money than they spend. But if you spend more than you save, even a high salary won't be enough to make you rich. Law number 10, Parkinson's Law. Out of all the 20 laws of money, Parkinson's Law is one of the most important to understand in terms of your long-term financial future. This law simply states that as your income increases, so do your expenses, and helps to explain why so many people retire poor despite earning a good salary throughout the course of their working life. You can probably find evidence of Parkinson's Law in your own life, as today you are most likely earning many times more than what you were at your first job. Yet despite this pay increase, there always seems to be a need to spend every penny that you have in order to support your current lifestyle. No matter how much money you make, it never seems to be enough, and you always find yourself in more or less the same financial situation as you were yesterday. Breaking Parkinson's Law. In order to become financially independent, you must make a conscious effort to break Parkinson's Law. This is done by developing enough willpower to resist the urge to spend everything you earn and developing the discipline to save that money instead. As long as you obey Parkinson's Law, you will never, ever become financially successful in life. One of the best ways to break Parkinson's Law is to increase your expenses at a slower rate than your income increases and then to save or invest the difference. Let me repeat that. One of the best ways to break Parkinson's law is to increase your expenses at a slower rate than your income increases, and then to save or invest the difference. If you are able to separate your income and expenses in this way, you will be able to increase your standard of living while ensuring that your future remains a financially secure one. So, from this point forward, be aware of Parkinson's law and make an effort to save a portion of any salary increase you receive, rather than falling into the habit of spending more just because you are making more. See, we have to understand, when people earn more money, they tend to spend more money, which subsequently keeps them in roughly the same financial situation throughout their life. So, in order to become rich, you must therefore develop the ability to accumulate wealth by ensuring that your expenses increase at a slower rate than your income increases. I want to thank you for joining me for part one of the 10 laws. I'm sorry. The 20 laws of money. This was the first 10. So, stay tuned for part 2 coming soon. Thank you and have a great, great day.